Good evening. Today is May 13, and we are studying the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This week's chapter step is step four, how it works. And our speaker tonight is Amy B. Take it away.
Thank you so much, Claudine, and thank you, Rachel, and thank you, everybody else, for your service here tonight. Thank you to Heidi B for asking me to speak. I know she's traveling and I hope safely and happily right now. And thanks for everybody for being here today. Okay, so I tested positive for COVID today. Which I caught at World Service with a whole bunch of other folks. And I am so grateful for the miracle of Zoom that lets me still work my program without risking anybody else's safety. I also, because there are no mistakes in God's universe, I had a lot of I don't even know what to call it. Feelings, emotions, resentments, fears, a lot of things at this big service opportunity, for which I was so grateful that I could do a complete inventory and how much that helped. And when I was thinking about being sick and speaking, I was just very aware of the fact that I had been given had an experience that was so relevant and so close that, again, there's nothing that happens in God's world that's by mistake. So I don't want to waste a lot of time on qualification, but I do want you to know how I got here. And so you know that I am a part of this fellowship and one of you. So I'm going to share my screen like super fast. And go over that. Here are some photos of me, in one of the ways that my disease expressed itself, which was morbid obesity. I have to note, I'm lacing on roller skates in one of these photos, which is very difficult. I couldn't bend over. And just as a sort of jump ahead spoiler alert, I celebrated my sixth year of abstinence last week by going roller skating over the walkway over the Hudson here near where I live. And I didn't even realize that these were in the photos, but I felt like I wanted to note it. Anyway, I was not happy putting on these roller skates in these photos. I was afraid that if I fell, nobody would be able to pick me up. I mean, I got out of breath just lacing them, much less standing up to skate. This is another way that my disease expressed itself. I might look like someone who had a healthy relationship with food, but in reality, I was severely restricting and over-exercising and was in just as much pain and disorder when it came to food and food behaviors as I was when I was over 300 pounds. And this is an obligatory bathroom selfie, I call this, of a time when I really had thought that I had it. I really thought that there was no way that I would go back to the way that I was. I had finally learned my lesson. I had arrived. But this was before the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. So after this came this. Excuse me. This is my second day in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous and my first day of abstinence. So that was 6 years and 11 days ago. And I am a 100-pounder in this program and very grateful one day at a time to say that I have not gone back to hurting myself with food since this day. This is a graph of my weight for the 25 years of my life before I came into the rooms. These swings up and down are 100 pounds or more. Each one of them is 100 pounds or more. And I have this graph titled A Powerless and Unmanageable Life because that's what that looks like in terms of my weight, my experience. So now you know how I earned my place in these rooms. It wasn't just my weight, though. It was my spiritual condition. my mental twist. I was miserable regardless of my body size. And a lot of that has to do with those things that needed inventory, which we're talking about today. So I'm in chapter five, I'm in how it works. And the first thing I want to do is just read step four as written. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. One of the things that somebody told me once, I feel like everything good that I do or repeat was heard from somebody else, was passed on. And that's one of the things that I love about this program. It's a message that was carried to me and I get to then carry on. So somebody once told me, every time in this book that I see the word ourselves or myself, separate it into two words, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, ourself. Self-will, self-pity, self-focus, all of that stuff. And the searching and fearless part. I don't know so much that I was fearless, but my inventory could be fearless. My inventory was full of the fears that were mine, but I could put them down on the paper. I don't know if I said that in a way that makes sense. But even though I was afraid, the words on the paper are without fear. Paper has no fear. That's what I'm kind of trying to say. A pen has no fear. Paper has no fear. The fear is mine, but the inventory is just words on paper. And when we get into the where it talks about that here in the chapter, I'm looking at page 64. We started upon a personal inventory. This was step four. Taking a commercial inventory is a fact finding and fact facing process. All the things that I'm afraid of, that I'm intimidating, this is just data. This is just data. We're just writing down words and we're looking for patterns. And that for me, and you know, if it applies to you, then maybe it would be helpful. For me, that sort of allayed my fears, maybe allowed me to set them aside a little bit, but I was just putting down facts and looking for patterns. I know that the first time I did my inventory, I spent probably more than a week going to different stationery stores looking for like the perfect book in which to write it and the perfect pen to write it with. Like it had to be, I wanted something that like wasn't too fancy, but wasn't too boring and like could lock because I didn't want anybody to see it if they just, it makes me laugh. I also then, I followed the 12 and 12, the OA 12 and 12, as opposed to the big book at the time when I first came in. And I used that as an excuse to basically just write an autobiography, which was what I did at the time. And I, you know, I don't regret the path that got me here, but I'll tell you, it didn't get me quite as much as when I put aside the way that I thought it needed to be done and just follow directions, just real simple follow directions. And I've done a few inventories, full fourth step inventories. And it's very specific in this book that we set them on paper, that we put pen to paper, that we have a written list. It's very specific in step four. And while I am someone who loves their data and tech things, I love a computer, I love a laptop, when it comes to inventory, it's there's something about connecting with hand, pen, and paper. So I suggest, as at least a starting point, follow the instructions simply without question. So pen to paper. And I've done a bunch of inventories, and I did, I did a few recently, but I did one about a year ago that was an incredibly deep dive, very searching, very fearless. And looking deep into the third column of how I was threatened and affected and all the many ways. And the resentments led so cleanly to the fears, and looking at those and then looking at my conduct in complex relationships was the key. I mean, it says it holds the key. We turn back to our list because it holds the key. And the reason that it holds the key is because it shows me what's holding me back and how I can behave instead. Here's what's somebody, again, somebody else pointed this out to me, and I think it's so beautiful. The inventory, the way that it's laid out, from the way the resentments are done to the fears to the sex conduct slash complex relationships conduct and ideals, the resentments ask me, what was my part? Like, how did I show up when I felt threatened? How did I show up in column four? How was I selfish and self-seeking and dishonest and fearful? The resentment inventory gets me to the question, how do I show up when I feel threatened? Then the fear inventory gets me to the question, what would my higher power have me be? How would my higher power have me show up when things are threatened? And then the sex conduct, complex relationship conduct inventory gets me to the question, a very specific question, where I was at fault, what should I have done instead? So by putting all three of these pieces together, a complete inventory, I get to see, how do I show up when I get threatened? How would my higher power have me to show up when I get threatened? And then if I'm showing up the way my higher power wants me to, what could I have done in these situations instead? And by that, it holds the key to the future. It shows me what I've done wrong, or how I show up, how I could show up, and then when I was at fault, where it is actually in my control, what could I have done differently? It's like what came to mind was like, it's like a magic formula. But there's nothing magic about it, because it's not a mystery and it's not without reason. It is ingredients that we put together. We follow these instructions and it works the way it says it will. And if I don't do this inventory, I have the unsettled life that. And it sort of promises me that I will. There's a part in here, where is it? Oh, on page 70, when it talks about, suppose we fall short of the chosen ideal and we stumble. Does it mean we're going to get drunk? Some people tell us so, but this is only a half truth. It depends on us and our motives. If we're sorry for what we've done and have the honest desire to let God take us to better things, we believe we will be forgiven and we'll have learned our lesson. If we're not sorry and our conduct continues to harm others, and this is where, and again, this was somebody else's instruction that I wrote in. If we are not sorry and our conduct continues to harm others, we are quite sure to continue to be in pain. And I know if I'm going to continue to be in pain, I'm going to cause wreckage in some way, either myself or somebody else. And whether that leads to me picking up or acting out or acting in or any of those things, if I do not, it's not the stumbling that's the problem. It's the not being willing to face the facts and make and clean it up where we can. And again, that's later steps, but we find the ingredients for that in four. Okay, I'm looking at the time. Couple of things that I want to say that have been very helpful to me recently, that I learned recently. One of them very specific in the resentment inventory when looking at column four, How was I self-seeking, selfish, dishonest, and fearful? Something that somebody said to me, which made it, for me, more tangible to sort of tease out and see, was to start from the bottom of that list and go backwards in terms of start with the fear. What was I afraid of? What was I really afraid of? And then by recognizing what I was afraid of, I see the 5 minutes. Thank you. By recognizing what I was afraid of, then what's the delusion that that fear brings to me? I'm so scared that all I can see is through the fear. So everything looks scary to me, and then it's all delusion. And then that delusion gives me a selfish attitude. I need to fix this, or they're not doing it right, or whatever. And then that selfish attitude comes out of me in self-seeking actions where I'm trying to control people or run the world. And that's where I do all the wreckage. My fears spring delusions that give me a selfish attitude that lead to self-seeking actions. And that, in my recent experience, gave me such an organic experience of what was happening to me. Because a lot of times I couldn't figure out where I got lost, like where I got swept away. I turn around and all of a sudden I'm behaving in a way that I don't want to. And looking at it, that I was so scared, like I was so threatened, everybody's going to hate me, I'm going to be alone. And then, oh, well, then look, they're talking about me. Look, I'm unhappy. I don't belong here. I start making up all of these things, like through the fear, and then the attitude and the self-seeking, and it all just feeds itself. And that's how it happens. That's how it gets away from me. And I'm so grateful that this inventory gave it to me. Looking at the time, so I mentioned that I had an opportunity this past week for inventory to really, really help me. I was in so much fear and feeling very powerless. And anger is hot, right? It's easier than sadness sometimes. And I want to be effective. I want to be loving. I want to be helpful. I want to be, and I couldn't get past the fear and all of the things that it led to, the delusions, the selfishness, and the self-seeking behaviors, until I sat down with an inventory. And why am I so disturbed? And it was by looking at exactly how I felt threatened. What was threatening my pride? Where was my self-esteem threatened? My ambition, my security, personal relationships, both how I think the world should see me and how I should see myself in the world. What it costs me, sometimes financially and sometimes emotionally. All of those things, how I'm threatened. It helped me see the truth. And that's the prayer that's all over step four. Please, God, help me see the truth. How is my self-focus, my inability to see beyond myself, how is that keeping me from being a member of the collective? A helpful, loving person. And I am so happy to give the testimony here tonight that this inventory works, that it these facts that I find and I face show me a path to be a better person, to try to be, to show up a better person. I don't, we're God is everything or God is nothing, right? So my missteps, if I allow them to be, will be guidance to a better road. If I inventory them, my missteps will hold the key to being more aligned with what my higher power wants for me and for all of us. I'm at the last few seconds here. I hope that I said something that was helpful. I just a little tack on, after I did that inventory, I had to find somebody the next day and give it to them and do that next fifth step. This program works when we follow the instructions and we work it. That's my time. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you, Amy. That was beautiful. Very beautiful. We will now open the meeting for questions or for 3-minute shares. As this is a big book study, sharing and questions should relate specifically to the chapter and step being studied this week. We ask you to accept this guideline in order to keep the meeting on track. If you'd like to share or ask a question, please raise your virtual hand, which is under reactions, or *9 if you're on the phone. I will call the raised hands in order, and the Zoom host will ask you to unmute when it's your turn. With a timekeeper, please set a timer for 3 minutes for each share and announce when time is up. If the speakers ask a question, please allow 3 minutes for the answer. Okay, let's see. I'll share. Amy, that was so vulnerable. And when people are vulnerable in this program, it gives me so much freedom to just tell the truth. It's a safe place. And if I don't have a safe place in this program, I'm not going to be honest. I can't, because I'm too scared. And so I am so grateful that you are willing to just lay bare your fears and how you act and how you don't act and where you have to take it. And it gives me, I've got chills, because I think, you know, it's the same thing with outreach. You talk to somebody you've never talked to before in your life, and then they say something that is completely honest, and then you're just able to throw up. I mean, you can just throw up all your stuff, and it's cleansing is what it is. So that's what I feel from you tonight. It's just giving me and so many other people the freedom to be honest and to be human, and also know that we're loved. Even if we all act certain, we all don't want to act certain ways, and we all act certain ways. And I really appreciate everything you said. Thank you. Okay. Rachel Y, please share with us.
Hi, everybody. Rachel Y, recovered compulsive overeater. Restrictor Amy, that was so good. I love you so much. Thank you so much for sharing. When you said, I was afraid, but my inventory was fearless, I was like, oh, that's so good. That's what I experienced. I lived in fear for like 30 years. It ran my whole ass life. And through this program, for any newcomers, it does work. And I just shared today that I'm doing things without any anxiety. It's so wild. It's a wild life. The change is so real. And just like the first step was the inventory for me. Well, the first step was step one, but really letting go of the fear was the inventory. And the way you explained that, it just meant so much to me, Amy. And for you to share your vulnerability of just having to do another inventory, it just makes it like someone else said, so much safer for us newcomers. So thank you, Amy. You're such an inspiration. Thank you for showing up tonight. Bless your heart. I'll pass.
Thank you, Rachel. Ian F., please share with us.
Hi, I'm Ian F., compulsive overeater. Very grateful to be here. Did not know you were speaking, Amy. That was a delightful surprise. Wonderful as always. And I love what you said about starting with the fear. Because I think, you know, if I try to when I'm taking inventory on my day, look at my resentments. There's like 20 of them. It's really hard to, and it can be really overwhelming. But then when I go through all of them, they always cycle down to a fear or maybe two. An example from my personal life, I'm working at a festival that I work at the summers, and I have an ex who's working 20 feet away from me every day. And one of the members of the cast who I work with on a daily basis, I just turned down her best friend. And I have this terrible fear of not belonging. I want to work with this company in a different capacity than I am. I want them all to like me. I want to be respected and loved. You know, that's the fear. I'm afraid I'm not going to be loved. I'm afraid I'm going to be alone. But it will translate to, if someone says hi to me on a lunch break, they hate me. If my car takes 5 seconds longer to start than normal, I'm going to be late, and then everyone's going to think that I'm a lazy asshole. And it really just, like, what I love about the fourth step and not writing it like an autobiography is that piece about God is everything or God is nothing. Well, that means that God is what is. God is reality. So when I take this fourth step, it's not about being a better person. Look, we're all, no one's better than anyone else. But it's about, like, okay, if the cast applauds me when I walk into the room, I can take that as they're being passive aggressive, or I can take that as them being sweet. Both are equally true. I have no proof. What is the fact? They did this thing. Okay. You know, I can think, oh, this person's going to talk shit about me, you know, because they're going to say that I'm a bad person. Have they? Do I know that they've done that? No. What is the fact? What is actually what is happening right now? And that's all the inventory is it's looking at the facts of my life and accepting them, which is a lot harder than panicking about them. In the long run, it's a lot harder, but it's also a lot more freeing. So, yeah, I mean, I'm always one for that, the fact-finding thing. And thank you so much for your share, Amy. I look forward to everyone sharing. Love y'all. Yes.
Thank you, Ian. Amy L., please share with us.
Yes, hi. I'm Amy L., and I'm a compulsive overeater. Hi, everyone. Thank you, Amy. Thank you so much. I always love your shares, and I really always relate. Today, I related so much to the part of you that felt you had arrived when you lost weight. And that was my downfall, even in a way, that part would light up and think, you know, you don't need all this. And I had to learn the hard way that this isn't about that you can't look at me and know how I'm truly doing or how I'm being. So the other thing I loved was the whole, you know, we're just fact-finding and looking for patterns. And I too, you know, many, many years ago worked it with the OA workbook and wrote my autobiography. And for a long time now, I've been doing it with the big book. And I love that, you know, you shared about we can be afraid and do this. We can be afraid. I mean, it reminded me of, like, somebody once said, courage. What is courage? Courage is fear that said its prayers, right? That the reason I can do this inventory is because I don't do it alone. I've already taken step three. I've already, like, given myself permission to believe there is some power that's gonna carry me through this. So, you know, that I was taught by a sponsor after we answer the selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and fear, how does God want me to be? Because I need that to not drift back into shame and remorse and, you know, that kind of thing. But anyway, I, you know, that what you shared about, I love that you shared how today you can do an inventory and that it often helps to work backward from the fear. And I do that a lot. I even do it with 10 steps. I start with my fear because today that's usually what I'm aware of. And then I go back to looking at what is my bondage of self, the same way I do in a fourth step. And I look at self-seeking as when I'm in my bondage of self, how do I behave? How do I show up with people? You know, that will show me all my defects, my defenses in action. And the dishonesty, what is the lie I'm believing? You know, and can God help me to be in reality? That's my time. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy. Shira L, did I say that right? Will you share with us?
Hi, everyone. Yeah, Shira, compulsive overeater, restrictor. Thank you so much, Amy. So, so wonderful and so clear, so raw and honest. I love that. It's just fact finding and just you made it so just because it's a lot. Resentments and fears when you're doing that. It is so gut wrenching. It feels like, you know, you can get so carried away and there's people that are stuck on that for years. I hear of people that are stuck on that step. And I love that you said that you're always quoting people. That's something I feel since I started program, I'm always like, oh, I once heard someone say and regarding the resentment and fear, I don't remember who it was, but they were saying, and I related so much to this, that when they came into program, I was aware that I was not able to be present. I was so in my head, which obviously led to my behavior of eating because I didn't even know what I was doing, where I was, subconsciously, obviously. And they were saying resentments are all past things and fear is a lot of times future. So my head is just so busy with like all my past, all my future. And there was zero space for me to just like be living in the moment at all. Again, this was subconsciously. This was not conscious at all until I came to program. But I thought that spoke to me so much. And writing it out and just having it on paper and like having that clarity in my brain of like what all this mess that was going on in my head, it was just like mind boggling. And I always say I'm so grateful that for some reason I created food as the solution, because I would imagine that the general human does have a level of resentments and fears. It could be I have more than the general, but I would never have gotten to this place if I didn't have food as the thing that I was like, I am an addict. I need help. People just go through their life with resentment, fears, all of these deep, deep feelings, all of this mess in their head. And there's moments where I just stop and I literally thank my higher power and thank God I have this program, because I cannot imagine life living like that. It was just so, so bad, so messy. Another thing, like so many of my resentments were something else someone I work closely with, I adore this extremely intelligent man. He was telling me, Shira, I think the majority of your resentments is that you're telling yourself a story. He's like, every time you're building your resentment, I want you to say, I'm telling myself the story that XYZ. And it was so true. And then I would see the person and I would like think like, hey, are we in a fight? And then I would be like, they would look at me and I was just so in my head. So many resentments were just so made up. They were fears, as you said. They were just like a fear of are they just, you know, something so not, you know, not crazy. We're human. But yeah, just so, so beautiful. Thank you so much. So honest. And again, lovely share. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Shira. Sharon W., please share with us.
Hi, everyone. It's been a long time. Sharon W., compulsive overeater. I've been out of the rooms for months, lying to myself and making up stories and I feel hopeful listening to everyone, but pretty down on myself that I've struggled and told myself that I didn't have the problem and that I know that I'm 100% sure I have. And that was after 3 years of abstinence and recovery and convincing myself that I had it licked. And there's just no such thing as having it licked. I'll tell you, there is no such thing. I'm glad to be here, Amy. I missed hearing you so much. That what a way to walk back into the rooms or turn on my screen and hear you speak. It was amazing. And I thank you. And I thank you all for speaking tonight, because I really needed it. It was great to hear everyone who shared their feelings. And I look forward to being back here. And thank you. And that's all I have to pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sharon. Betty S., please share with us.
Hi, everybody. I'm Betty with Compulsive Overeater. So good to see you all. Amy, dear, thank you for your great share. Four step, how apropos, I'm on my four step. And you just did such a beautiful job of clarity and explaining. You know, there's a prayer, the set aside prayer, there's a reason for it. I've been around a long time. I thought I knew everything. Boy, I'm learning a lot of new things. Especially about the four step. You mentioned the word delusion. Could you explain that a little bit more to us and how that fits in to a four step?
Thank you, Betty. That's an awesome.
Thank you, Amy. I love you.
I love you too. So this was big for me because I got sort of hung up on the word dishonesty. Like, where did I tell a lie? And it's not always that I told a lie, but like a delusion. Where am I seeing things? And somebody else, I'm looking at Trevay, somebody else said, where am I not seeing the truth? Where am I, you know, seeing something that is untrue? I'm sorry, I didn't quote you directly, but it's what you said. That delusion for me opened up such a huge door, more than dishonesty did. And again, like, the words in the book are the starting point to refer back to. And sometimes we just need a more personal connection to open it up. So, and it says delusion. I mean, it does talk about delusions. It uses the word delusion in the big book, but on the inventory, it uses the word dishonest. And again, I think I just got a little confused or pegged, pigeonholed into the literal dishonest, as opposed to the other ways that a person could be dishonest other than just telling a falsehood, like presenting something that is untrue to others. Ooh, instead of presenting something that is untrue to others, what is the thing that I am presenting that's untrue to myself? Like, what has the, and the way that it often comes up for me is the fear whispers a lie that makes me see everything through that lie. So I am in delusion. Even if I think I'm telling the truth, I am telling something through a delusion. So I might think that what I'm saying is real, but it's influenced. Does that answer your question? Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Mia JT, please share with us.
Okay, hi. Mia JT from Massachusetts, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, everybody, for your service tonight. And Amy, oh my God, I love you and I adore you. And I'm so sorry you have COVID. You know, what you were just talking about, the question that was just asked about the difference, you know, dishonesty, delusion and everything. You know, I have this conversation with my sponsor all the time, because when I'm doing my nightly inventory, I'm really literal about my dishonesty. Like, I'm really like, no, I didn't tell a lie. I didn't, you know, I didn't do that. I didn't, you know, I wasn't dishonest about my food, or I wasn't dishonest about this, or, you know, and she's always trying to get me to dig deeper. You know, and I guess I know where that comes from, but you know, but it's always like a digging deeper, and you know, and I really struggle with that. But this is actually really, really helpful, and I took notes, and I will be listening to this again, because that was just, that helped a lot. It put it in a lot of perspective. You know, fear whispers a lie, and I see everything through that lie. I've been dealing a lot of with a lot of image management, like, I want to be a good mother. I want to be a good, whatever, whatever it is. I wanted to say daughter, but of course, I guess I can still be a good daughter, even though my parents are gone, but a good sister, to my brothers. And, we're dealing with my mother's death and the estate and all that stuff. And I want to be helpful. And I want to do all these things. And I want to be a good sister. And, so image management is a big thing. But I had to really, like, kind of get, because I just don't want to look like I'm a fucking lazy asshole. I want to do my part. So, I'm really grateful to be here, and I'm so thankful for your share. Thank you, everybody, for your service. This was enormously helpful. And Amy, feel better, okay? All right. I love you, and thanks, everybody. Have a good night.
Thank you, Mia. We will now stop the recording for unrecorded questions or shares. Would the Zoom host please stop the recording?